We got to get back. This is bothering me so bad. This is what I hate about being in quarantine and doing all this stuff, because we shouldn't. This just doesn't make any sense. So, Cindy, I'm trying to make sure I pin this stuff so we can get it in. Could you guys hear me? Obviously, you guys can hear me. We're not going to do this. I'm so mad. We're going to figure this out. En Vogue. Music. I just need to make sure I pin them, and then I will get this amazing lady, the legendary, in the building. We're gonna get it in here. We're gonna figure it out. And I love that y'all still coming back. Hold on, let me pin it. Y'all just commenting and stuff like that. Let me pin the thing, please. We got that. All right, so hopefully she's back in Vogue Music. We got it one more time, but we're here. We're live. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I still can't hear you. I can't hear you, Cindy.
Can anybody else hear me?
This is horrible. I hate the internet. You can hear me. You can hear me talking.
Yeah.
I can't hear you at all.
I don't know what's going on.
What is going on? Hold on. Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay, you got me?
Cindy.
Shantae?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I can't use my microphone. The microphone.
Okay.
I just got to talk really loud, so I apologize for that.
Okay.
But thank you so much for joining me. I just have to say, first of all, did I say your name right?
Cindy?
I said Cindy. No. Cindy, is it Cindy Heron Braggs or what?
Braggs. That's right.
Okay. I just have to start off with going, first off, you turned a lot of chicks out. In my community. I just had to let you know that, because I think I got girls DMing me saying she's mine, or she was my crush. They might not no longer be gay, but they like literally was so amazed about. I mean, you guys were fire. You guys were amazing. But thank you so much, everybody. Welcome Cindy, the legendary Cindy for En Vogue.
Hey y'all.
Still.
Thanks for having me, Shantae.
Absolutely. You guys just recently celebrated, and when I mean recently, 2019, you guys just recently celebrated your 30-year anniversary. And now you guys are doing this Hold On Together campaign. So tell me a little bit about that.
That's right. Well, initially for our 30th, we had a tour planned, but everything just evaporated with this plague. So we reissued our Born to Sing album. We just redirected everything. So we reissued our Born to Sing album, and there's a lot of remixes on there, a lot of, you know, all the hits that you know and love. We got some pretty cool remixes. We've also launched our Funky Divas podcast, which is across all of our social media platforms. And our first episode can be seen now. It's up close and personal with our girl, Holly Robinson Pete, hosting us and asking us all of our questions about our history, and special little at-home performance by Terry and I and Rona at the end. We also have a social media campaign that we're doing, which is called Hold On Together. And we understand that during this quarantine time, there's a lot of people that are depressed and lonely. There's a lot of elderly people that might be, you know, normally have family members coming to visit that are just lonely. So we're encouraging people to reach out to people. Depression right now is at a much higher level than it normally is, because we're social people, you know?
Right.
And so we're just encouraging our friends and our family members to reach out. And also we want people to post their videos at hashtag Hold On Together of what they're doing to flatten the curve. And it could be anything. It could just be washing your hands. It could be, you know, if they're out walking a dog, do you have your mask on? You know, yes. If it's a group of people, you know, going on a bike ride together or whatever, you know, just are you keeping your social distancing? So just stuff to kind of keep us all connected, and just to share and encourage each other on how we're all holding on together.
Yeah, and I love that. And so I have to ask you, like, you know, certain questions, just because when you talk about mental health and self-care and stuff like that, you know, you think about, like, back in the 90s and stuff like that versus now. And you go, like, first of all, when you met your group, you guys didn't even know each other. You guys were introduced by two producers, right? So you guys didn't know each other.
But I will say this. Let me say this, though. Terry and I knew each other. We met each other probably a couple of years prior through a mutual friend. And so I went to Texas once. I saw her. I met her then. And then on another occasion, she came to Los Angeles, and we had lunch. So we didn't really keep in touch beyond that, but we kind of knew each other. Maxine and I worked in a theater production together years prior to the audition. So... yes, but we all came together on that day. I didn't know Dawn. Max and Dawn met on one previous occasion at a hair salon that Max worked at. And they met through a friend, a mutual friend. So the fact that we sort of might, you know, all crossed paths at one time or another, we you know, kind of feel like
we it was meant to be. Other, but not
really. Yeah.
But so how does that play in the, because, you know, with the industry, there's so many things that happens, like, you know, there's a lot of mental things that come into being in this industry. And how was that for you and the group back then versus now, and, you know, all those things? Because, you know, I personally, for me, and I've dealt with depression myself, and I deal with anxiety a lot, and so forth and so on, but I feel like it became bigger now versus then. But how was that for you guys? Like, did you guys connect? Like, you know, did you guys, or not even you guys, but how was it with mental health versus now?
You know, I think for the mental health aspect, yes, I think what's going on is going to escalate, you know, or magnify, you know, certain elements of a certain people's mental health, because, you know, people have to be encouraged if let's just say you have a therapist and you see that therapist once a week or whatever in person. Now everything's virtual, you know, and so I think that's one element. But the other thing is that everything, like, you can't even watch the news anymore because it's like nothing else in the world exists except for this COVID.
Yes.
And you know, they're feeding us the numbers, they're feeding us the you know, what's going on in the hospitals, and it really can cause a lot of anxiety. You add joblessness into the mix. You know, if a person is struggling with any mental health issues, just to have some stability in their life, like a constant income stream and knowing they have a job to go to and they are a functional citizen in society, they matter, they're able to connect with friends and families in person that are very supportive. Well, you know, if you take all of that away, all those things I just mentioned that helps a person feel more grounded and more stable, you take all of that away, and now a person is just left to what's going on in their head and what they're seeing in the news, and there's no income coming in, and you know, I applied for unemployment, but I'm not receiving anything yet. I want to get a test, but there's not widely available tests. You know, all of that stuff is mounting, and it sort of creates a mountain of stress and anxiety. And so I think it's especially important right now, if for us who have family members that we can't be physically in contact with, or we have friends that we can't be physically in contact with, it's so important to stay connected with them, to call in and check on them, to FaceTime with them, you know, and just to encourage them and just let them know, what can we do to help? What can I do to help? We can't be there physically, but if I could drop off something, yeah, you know, at your porch, you know.
Yeah. And it's so crazy because, you know, when it first started, you know, I feel like people don't really feel it sometimes until it's somebody that's close, or, you know, so on and so on. And so what's crazy is you know, I almost stopped to do this interview because literally 2 hours later I just found out a relative was in the hospital. Not for the virus, but the scary thing is that you have this person in this facility that's, you know, you go to the hospital, it's like 2-3 people in the same room, you know, so whatever right. diseases they have, you know, can trickle off to somebody else, especially when they're not in good health. So, you know, I did my tears and I cried and, you know, I'll probably cry when I get off. But the scary thing is just to feel it at home. And I don't think anybody, because out here in Cali, we're out here dealing with this stuff and you got people in Huntington Beach or those rich places who are angry with not being able to go outside. So now they're outside. I just heard from somebody that in Huntington Beach, they are outside. They're able to go to the beach and stuff like that. But the government
shut that down.
But it's so crazy to just go like, people can't even listen until it hits you at home.
That's right. And I think part of that is a lot of those people have not been touched personally by it,
yeah.
Which I can't see how, because there's so many people in, I'm in Southern California, there's so many people in the Los Angeles area that are being, I know people who have had COVID, right? I have a distant relative who lives in Tennessee, who's a strong, robust female firefighter,
yeah.
And she got it, and she had to end up in the hospital. But not just that, there are other people in my friend circle that are struggling with this and even lost family members to this. And so I think there's a group of people that don't believe that it's real,
yeah.
That or that feel like there's this thing going on with where they're trying to slowly take away our personal freedoms. And so they feel like they're fighting for that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some people just feel like there's an element of hoax to it. Like the numbers are being escalated. They're not as high as they're reporting to us. You know, there's a lot of people dying of other things and they're recording it as a COVID death as opposed to heart attack or as opposed to cancer or whatever yeah. it might have been. So, yeah. you know, there's just an element of unbelief.
Yeah, the
and wrong. Then yeah. I'm going to say this. And then I'm going to say this. There are a certain amount of people in our society that don't like following rules.
Yeah.
They just don't like, following
right.
rules. They feel like it's their constitutional right to have to not follow rules, you know, they read into that somewhere. And so, you know, I think we just, those of us who are just, you know, we just have to try to do our best to try to flatten the curve. You know, there's enough of us who are trying to do our part and hopefully it'll be enough. And, you know, for some of the people out there enjoying the beaches and crowding and all that stuff, you know, there could be natural consequences to that, you know?
I know, it's so crazy. So what made you do the Hold On Together? I asked that already, but I'm saying in general, like, was it because of, like, you having people connected or close to you that was dealing with this or anything like that? Like,
well, yeah, it's because we realize that there are a lot of people that are struggling through this. And we realize that there's a lot of people that are so fearful right now.
Yeah.
And our only way right now to connect with people is through social media, right?
Yeah.
Normally when we're working and performing, we go live to people. We meet people in person. We have meet and greets. They come backstage. We hug. We, you know, say little personal things, whatever it is. And that's all gone right now. So we got all these people that are just trying to find their way through this. And so social media is a great tool. We've been seeing it all over the place where people are reaching out, connecting to people,
yep.
just to sort of create a community, because we need community right now. We're used to community, but the only way we can have community right at the moment is through social media platforms. And, you know, so we're just using it as a tool to bring people together, to let people know we're there, you're there for us. Let's connect. Let's encourage each other. Let's inspire each other.
Yeah.
Show us what you're doing, you know, to flatten the curve. What's your part, you know? And as more people view that and see that, I think they feel a little encouraged. I think they feel connected.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like, you know, just a little inspired, and like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and this will pass one day. We'll be past this.
Yeah. So on a little lighter note, I think it's very interesting to go, you know, you see the stuff that's happening right now versus, you know, when you guys started. You know, how was that support system back in the day versus like now? So, and I say that to say, like, you know, you know, like there was beefs, there was, you know, there was like people trying to get ahead, and, you know, women in general, and especially Black women, struggled to try to get ahead in certain ways. And that music industry, how was that for you guys? Like, was there a lot of beefs? Was there a lot of, you know, just how do you say it? It's like, really was there like beefs and a lot of like negativity during that time versus like what's happening now, where you have female rappers or female singers, even Patty and Aretha, they were going at it for a certain time. But how was that for you guys back in the day?
You know, for us, it was we never had any beefs with any other female artists. Because I don't think it was really the personality of any of the members of En Vogue to engage in that. Yeah. And I hope that we never put that energy out. I don't think we did. But we never really got it either. It was, anytime we came into contact with other female artists, it was always mutual respect. Because I think we knew it was a male-dominated industry.
Yeah.
And it was really important for women to be supportive of each other and just realize the struggle. You know, women artists, women, Black female artists especially, seem to sell records like a lot of the male artists. They didn't get paid when they toured like the male artists. It was different. I will say, okay, Whitney, you know, artists like that, yeah, they was running things.
They were making, but
just across the board, especially for female groups, you know, it was, you know, we each had our own obstacles to overcome. And for me, it was especially great when we were able to get together with Salt and Pepper and do What a Man. That was like,
that was my last song before I started dating girls. That was my last song to my
wasn't it? That was a great time. It was a great song. It, you know, us coming together felt like a sense of female empowerment. And we had mad respect for them. But, you know, we had mad respect for any of the girl groups that were left standing, you know, SWV and TLC. I mean, Jade and Blackstreet, you know, because it was a male-dominated industry. And I will say, I think today, largely, it still is. You know, the structure of everything has changed. Record companies aren't what they used to be.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's a huge change, you know, and, you know, we put a record out in 2018, and it just, you know, the use of the social media platform, just the way you promote stuff. And,
yeah,
you know, we put it on our own label this time, and we had a distribution deal. So the whole structure of the record industry has changed. Really, and I know that doesn't have anything to do with your initial question, which was
no. You know, it's still amazing
with other females.
No. It's still amazing because you just don't. You know, there's a difference, and women are still struggling. You know, as a comedian, yep. And you know, let me take myself aside, because then you have the women who, just any woman in general who's trying to be a comic. If you look on any roster, it's mostly men. It might be one chick. But those are the chicks sometimes where people talk about them and go, you know, women ain't this and women ain't that. And it's, you know, so we're still dealing with that, but we have evolved, and we have, that's why I said with your line where, you know, the tight clothes and the high heel shoes, if that was the reference of prostitution back then, and you're dealing with the stuff you're dealing with now, it's just really crazy to think that back then, that was the level of whorism, or, you know what I'm saying, whatever that was. So somebody said, though, I don't know if we want to talk about this, and you know, please feel free to just, we'll just skip to the next question. But somebody said, Dawn claimed that En Vogue did not want to renegotiate the contract after the first and second albums. Is that true?
Well, not after the, we did negotiate our contract. I want to say it was either just before the second album or just after the second album, but we did renegotiate.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So you've performed with like Sesame Street, which is amazing to me because I also love Patti LaBelle. So when I see certain people like do stuff, I saw y'all do Sesame Street. Y'all did Arsenio Hall. Y'all did Soul Train, and y'all did My Family. Y'all did Wayans Brothers. Y'all did Unlimited Color
too. Yes.
Question. So, cause for me, I'm pretty nervous in this interview, but my favorites, I always get really scared to even want to meet them. You know what I'm saying? I never wanted to meet anybody because I like the idea. Like when you guys did like, that's right. Like you guys felt so like cool. Like you could just walk up to you and just be like, yo, Cindy, like I love you. But who were you starstruck by back in the day? Was there anybody that made you feel?
Yeah. I'm going to say we met Patti LaBelle early in our career, and we were all starstruck.
So
we met her backstage. Let me tell you. We were in the San Francisco Bay Area. There is this event that happens every year. It's called the, oh my goodness, why does the name escape me? It might be the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame Awards, but it was an event at the Paramount Theater, and she was there performing. We were there, and we met her backstage. And she didn't have, so we were starstruck, first of all, because we grew up on Patti LaBelle. Like, you know, she's a diva. Right. Not in the bad sense, but she's a serious diva. Like, don't touch her. You can't, no, don't even try to, like, re-record any of her stuff. If you can't do it as well, you know, her music as well as she did, don't even touch it. So we met her backstage, and she was so sweet. And I will say we were starstruck. And she didn't have any makeup on yet, right? And I think I said to her, because she just had, her skin was beautiful. And to me, she looked about 10 years younger without makeup on.
Yeah.
And I blurted out, oh my gosh, you look younger in person. And she just kind of looked at me like, she looked at me like, I don't know if I should thank you or slap you.
it's so funny that all of us, no matter what level you are in this entertainment, like all of us has somebody who we're afraid to approach. And it's like,
right.
it's cute to see like even somebody who's such a legendary OG and stuff like that, like be so scared to like, or not scared, but you know, feel like, you know, what was that? I love that. I love that. Okay. So you also performed and did, or you recorded with Stevie Wonder and Prince.
Yes.
So, you know, RIP, but is there any story you can give us with either one of us?
With Stevie or?
Or Prince, because, you know, like Jimmy Fallon, like they have stories, like Jimmy Fallon had a story about playing ping pong and how this ping pong game with him and Prince showed up and basically like won and then just disappeared. But is there anything, like, what is your most memorable moment with one of them?
I'm going to tell you a story that I don't say, I haven't told to many people. And now Stevie was great. Stevie is an icon too, and an idol for us. Prince was an icon and an idol for us. But I'm going to tell you one that you probably haven't heard. One time, years ago, Terry and I were invited. Teddy Riley was working with Michael Jackson a lot. And Teddy Riley invited us to come to Michael Jackson's Never Never Land Ranch for the 4th of July. We didn't have nothing to do. So we were like, okay. So we went, he picked us up in a limo. It was a long drive too. And so we went out there, and Michael was there, and he had a few other friends, other people, I don't know. And, you know, he showed us around his ranch, and he had his chefs prepare, you know, all this really special 4th of July food. And when we sat down to eat, Michael disappeared. He didn't sit and eat with us. So he came, so but he came back later, and he invited us. He had a game room, like a gaming room with all these video games and pinball machines and all that stuff. And so us, me, Terry, Teddy, and the other a few people that were friends of his were in there, and we were all having a good time gaming, and he was in there with us, and then he disappeared. And the next thing we knew, everything just went dead, like the power blew. And we were just like, oh my gosh, what do we do? And then we couldn't continue playing. And then he came back in, and he was just cracking up at us. And he said, I pulled the plug on you guys. And he just thought it was so hilarious. So he was a bit of a jokester, I think, you know. It was really funny, you know. But he was a sweetheart. And you know, for me, I was a huge, huge Michael Jackson 5 fan. Like, when I was a little girl,
yeah,
the Jackson 5 were a group, and then Michael went solo. But I was always, like, from the beginning, a fan. And I just, you know, always, they were a little older, but I just always felt like, I want to be a recording artist too. If they could do it, I could do it. You know, they sort of instilled in me that dream that you can do it, you know. And I had hoped that as a child I could accomplish that, but you know, obviously it wasn't until years later that I did have my break into the record industry. And then looking back, I was really actually thankful that I didn't have a big entry into showbiz as a kid, because you hear all these stories about child actors and child,
yeah,
you know, people that are in the industry that just didn't have a great childhood or just had to sacrifice a lot to be a star. And so, but he was my biggest inspiration.
So, three more questions. I know I don't want to hold you up too long, but one, there's so many things, you know, me being in the industry and stuff like that. I deal with anxiety. I deal with depression. I said that already. How do you move forward from that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you get past the anxiety and the depression and moving on? Because I, you know, on one side, I'll speak from being a comic and bombing and then doubting yourself. You know what I'm saying? One,
yeah,
I say, was there a moment where, because you guys performed in big places, but then you guys had smaller venues too where you did. And was that a different preparation? When did you, if you ever felt like you dealt with any of those mental health issues or anything like that, but how do you move forward on that? Because it's so nerve-wracking, you know. I just did a special, and I was talking to a guest last week on how everything was coming into my life, and I still relapsed, and I still went into that depression mode, even though I was happy. But I felt yeah, overwhelmed, and I didn't know what, you know, it's like success is coming, and it's like, how
right,
do you deal with that success?
Okay, so you got depressed, you're saying, because all of a sudden you feared the success.
Yes, absolutely.
It's overwhelming.
It was so overwhelming.
I would say, as a mom, it coming from a lot of places. First of all, I have a son who is Asperger, and he deals a lot with depression. Like, it has been a struggle. And so for me as a mom, he just doesn't handle stress well. It pushes him into anxiety, it pushes him into depression, it pushes him into all, and then all these other physical things start happening, IBS and all of that stuff. So as a mom, it was important, I learned to, if you can have a support base, and I'm going to say, first of all, see if they're is any anything you can do, like having a therapist, to just be able to process your thoughts and feelings, right? Who can help you shed light on things. Sometimes you may have to add a pharmaceutical that might help balance you. But I also read that there have been some people that have found success by getting with, there are homeopathic integrative psychiatrists who merge psychiatry and integrative medicine, and they're able to do blood work and find out where you might be have an imbalance in your blood work with a certain minerals or vitamins or something, that when they supplement that and also remove certain, because they could tell by your blood work what things you might have a slight allergy to, or that might you might, you know, have a reaction to. And so when they start removing things from the diet, start rebalancing you with whatever's missing, vitamin or mineral wise or supplement wise, a lot of people find that they start to balance out and to just feel better. And then, only then, does the anxiety and depression start to, you know, the level starts to come down too. So I would say that might be helpful too. But the other important thing, and I'm gonna say God, don't not include God, because I think God,
yeah,
you know, God would want to walk as his children. He wants us to feel well and depend on him. And I think through him, he can guide us down the particular path that each of us are supposed to walk on. But the other thing I think that we have to realize is we don't grow and become stronger unless we go through stormy periods in life. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
We don't become better and stronger until we have some storm, right? And so sometimes we have to just allow ourselves to work through those. And sometimes it might be with a close family member or a therapist or whatever, but it is those storms that bring us to the next level of strength, right? And I heard Rona and my group say, when you sweep your problems under the rug, they're still there. You can sweep them under the rug and things look fine, but until you take that dirt out and deal with it, it's going to always be there. And so we do have to deal with the things in our lives and work through them. And, you know, now they're gone. And so we gain strength and just reach our next levels of strength and creativity and productivity through embracing our storms, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Absolutely. I'll ask you pretty much this. Dang. This. who do you think, if En Vogue came out now, who do you think you would be? What kind of, you know, because you guys are evolved now and all those things. I mean, you guys are still torn doing all those stuff. You guys are still legends and bringing that fire. But what do you, if En Vogue came out now, where do you think y'all would be? Where you would be in success level, because obviously you still would freaking kill it. But who would you guys be spiritually or as a person? Or as a group?
So you mean as if we came out with a new record?
Yeah, if you guys came out, would y'all be like, okay, act up, you can get smacked.
You know, so the last record that we came out with was Electric Cafe. It came out in 2018. I can't believe it's already been 2018. But every time we do new music, we like to start with the foundation with our two producers, Denzel Foster and Thomas McElroy, the original guys who put the group together, because they just they sort of help us set our foundation, retain that signature En Vogue sound and harmony. But then we evolve from there. And if you've listened to our Electric Cafe album, we always write our evolution, I think, mindset, life experiences. You'll hear it in our music. And so if we came out with something new today, and we are looking to come out with maybe a couple of singles, hopefully in the fall towards the end of the year. So the idea this time is, you know, in this music, if we're just going to put out two or three singles, let's make it funky, dance your butt off.
Yeah.
It's your gym workout, because, you know, we be working out, when the gyms are open and even at home, we get our workout on, right? And so do so many of our women. We like to get our workout on. And it's important to have that workout jam that just helps keep you inspired. But it's also, you know, great to have that, you hear that club, that song at the club, and it just, you lose it, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so we're hoping that's our next little, you know, that's where we're going. Just like drop that beat that just makes you have to get up and party.
I love it. I mean, I know I had you way over the time I was supposed to have you on.
It's all good. And,
this is a blessing to have you. I'm about to,
thank you.
Hands down, you could play every song back to back. And I love this because everybody's been doing this like 90s versus this and doing all this. And hands down, you guys have been in every battle. From the smallest social media people to the highest people, you guys are always in my heart. You remind me of my mom, but more so, you guys just put out great music. And like I said, the whole, you can listen to the entire album nonstop, and that's hard to do for a lot of people. And I will put you guys up there with like the Michael Jacksons and stuff like that, because there's a few people that you can play all those things for. So this is a, I want to cry right now because this is, I just can't believe I have you and on this IG right now. So if there's anything you want to say, please hold on together. Please push that up, you know, promote that. And then anything I can do to push that more, because I think it's so special that people of your caliber are recognizing those mental health issues and any health things that's going on, because it's very important. And I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you too. Thanks for having me. I appreciate your support over all of these years. God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing, because you're such a bright light to so many people. And yes, everybody can post their hashtag hold on together. Whatever you're doing to flatten the curve, it could be even you FaceTiming with grandma, but we're all in this together. We are all in this together. Ain't nobody higher. Ain't nobody lower. We all on the same level. We're all in this together, and we are all family.
Absolutely.
We are all family. So hashtag hold on together at all of the In Vogue Music platforms. And we're going to get through this, everybody. And I want to thank everybody, all of your fans and followers and the people that are watching. Thank you for supporting In Vogue this many years through all the different configurations of who we are. Thanks for supporting the brand. And we just, God bless you all. Hang in there. We're going to get through this, and let's hold on together.
Absolutely. Please, everybody in here, we're going to push this way more, but I need you guys to follow Cindy Heron Braggs. You see it pinned on the thing, In Vogue Music. I'm going to push you the hell out, because I love everything you guys do, and thank you so much again. Please be safe. Stay with that light, and man, just, I'm going to go cry now.
Aww.
I'm going to go cry happy tears, though. So please, thank you so much.
Okay.
And love, love.
Love to you, too. Thank you.
Have a great one, okay?
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.